What is it about Christians and love? It's always love with you Christians, isn't it? Loving each other, loving your neighbor, loving God, loving the Samaritan, loving the stranger, loving justice. It's always about love. Jesus today, going on and on about love, how I abide in my Father's love, and my Father's love abides in you, and you abide in me, and I abide in you, and if you do my commandments, which is to love one another, it's always about love with you guys, isn't it? Love, love, love. Would I bore you if I went on and on about love? Another sermon about love? It almost bores me, I got to tell you. What do you preach? One more sermon on love. How do you make it even more interesting? How do you engage people in the act of loving when it's all we ever talk about? What good is it to talk about love? Well, there's a sermon right there, right? Talk is cheap. Jesus doesn't really want talk. He wants love. Do this. Love. But what if love were a new idea? Not so boring. What if it was just a kind of a new concept? Think about that. I think there was a time when love was a new concept, and it wasn't that long ago, if you think about it, in the scope of things. I mean, the universe is about 13 billion years old, give or take, right? 13 billion years. The planet might be a few billion years old. Life on the planet might be some million years old. How long have we been around here? 100,000, a few hundred thousand years? I'm a little shaky on the details, but I know that in comparison to 13 billion, we've been around for about a second. Right? And in the time that we've been around, think of how we've grown and evolved. Not a bad word, evolution. We have grown and evolved. And at one point in our history, love was a new idea. Think about that. I mean, we used to get by without it. I can picture our ancestors living in caves and providing food for one another, hunting and gathering and procreating, and guess what? They did that without love. I won't draw you a picture. It is Mother's Day, after all, and there are children present, but you can procreate without love. You can just do it. It's instinctual, and there are these drives, and we do it, and it's part of how God made us. It's how we evolved so that we would procreate, progenerate, and continue to have a species. But think about the evolution of love. When did love come up? When was that an idea? I don't know if there was love in cave. There might have been, but at some point, it was biological, and it was all instinctual, but somewhere emotions, the brain evolved to become an emotional center and not just an instinctual center. I do believe that's true. So we might have acted like animals instinctually, but somewhere we evolved to be more complex than animals. So yeah, the idea of love. I mean, the caveman would he have intervened to stop someone from harming another member of his family? Yes, for the survival of the species, he would have laid his life down for another. And in doing that, evolved this very complex emotion that we call love. I kind of think that. And I think in the development of religion and how people understood God and how they understood their ethics of being together and living with one another, this was an idea that was new at one point. Before that, there might have been other ideas like obedience and strictly following rules. But at some point, rules got replaced by love. And that point is actually right here in John 15. Maybe it happened 500 years before Jesus when Buddha appeared on the scene, and he taught nothing but love. Ironically, 500 years before Jesus, the contemporary of Buddha, there were people like Confucius, and they were encouraging love and family life. The Old Testament prophets, like Micah, who said, walk humbly with your God, do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. All of these guys were contemporary spiritual. There was a spiritual revival in the human family, you know, around 500 BC, and it was about love and acting on love. And it was more complex than thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not commit adultery. It was a little bit more complex than that. Those were the rules, follow the commandments. But what if you loved one another? What if love was the next big idea? And it took about 500 years, and then Jesus comes along, and he's dealing with people who are still walking around with these commandments, but they're also hearing about this thing called love. And Jesus says, do these commandments. The commandments are about love. So he takes the two and he sort of weaves them together and he says, you know what? And later Paul says it, puts it even an even finer point on it and says, all the commandments are summed up in one word, that you love one another. All the commandments are summed up. If you have trouble remembering the rules, if there's too many of them, if there's 10 or there's 667 of them, just remember love. So it's really... It's like Commandments 2.0. It's easier to remember. I can't remember what the rules say about this when I stumble onto this particular situation. But if I do the right thing, if I do the loving thing, then I'm doing the right thing. And in this context, Jesus says to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Another new idea, friendship. Think about that. What if friendship were a new idea? It's a novelty. What if we can relate to one another in a way that is collegial and relational and not like servant to master? Isn't that interesting that Jesus says, I no longer call you servants? I don't remember when he did call them servants, actually. But it makes sense. He is Lord. He is a master. That would be the relationship. It's a hierarchical one. He's up here. We're down here. And he does this to it, and he makes it a horizontal relationship. I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. And he says a friend is someone who would lay down their life for the other. That's friendship. What if that's the best picture we have of what it means to be God? That's mind-blowing. That's a new idea. Friendship? What a friend we have in Jesus. I had a conversation with somebody this week. Just your average coffee with the pastor conversation that, and she wanted to know about the divinity of Jesus. Yeah, I get that a lot. Actually, I don't. Actually, I do. Actually, I don't. I don't know. You'd be surprised. And my answer, you know, here's someone that's been to seminary, and she's kind of not sure where she fits in the church, if at all, and what the Christian church, Disciples of Christ, is like. And her question was kind of like, well, what about the divinity of Jesus? And I was kind of like, wow, the divinity of Jesus. And I probably hemmed and hawed too much and didn't answer the question right. But I did say something like, yeah, I think Jesus was God, much in the same way that you and I are God. You've heard me say that before. It seems like I almost say it every Sunday nowadays. But that didn't land with her, I don't think, because I think she thinks of God as being something else, and that Jesus is God because Jesus is something else too. But what if God is as close to us as our own breath? What if we're not separate from God? What if the best picture we have of God is a friendship, is that close and that intimate? And it's not a me and some master of the universe out there in space somewhere, but it's you and me. It's as close as we are right now. What if that's all? What if that's what divinity is? I read this thing, this piece. Again, it's about friendship, and it's about recognizing God in one another in here. You saw me put him in my pocket. Bad idea. This is Thomas Merton, great spiritual teacher of our age. He says, I'm grateful to you, God, because I am now more often alone. He's talking about solitude. And also in relationship, he was the novice master of new students that came to the monastery. He says, not that I run away from my students, but sometimes I do not know myself in them. At other times, I find myself in them and with them. Indeed, spiritual direction is sometimes an experiment in recognition. They recognize something new in themselves, and I in myself. For you, O God, recognize yourself in us. Isn't that beautiful? I think that's a beautiful definition of spiritual direction. It's a great definition of friendship, that God recognizes God's self in this relationship. What if that's the best picture we ever get of what God looks like? Friendship. Well, what if friendship is the closest thing we have to being divine or being close to the one who is divine? What if it's all, and every time I read John's gospel, it's such a mishmash and a confusing, chaotic interweaving of relationships. God is in me, I am in God, you are in me, God is in you, we are in one another. That whole thing, it's just the boundaries get blurred on purpose because that's what it means to be close to one another, is to be close to God. Amen.